A morning of today's Daf and Entrance, Kuf Tes. We are on Kuf Chesam and Beis. We're about three quarters of the way down. L'mishpach Hoseim is where we're going to pick it up. So, L'mishpach Hoseim Yatzim and Ateva. Okay, I started this point yesterday. This is where we're going to pick up. It's about 10 lines on the bottom of the Amar, a little bit more than that. It's towards the end of the line. It's quoting from the Pasuk. Okay, Dor HaMabul. We are finishing up today Dor HaMabul. Dor HaMabul, the Gemara describes, is one of the generations that Ein Lo Chelek Olam Haba, do not have a portion of the world to come. And then over the course of today, we're going to be finishing up the topic of Dor HaMabul. We're going to be talking about Dor HaFlagim. We're going to be talking about stone. Those are our three big topics for today. So let's finish up with the Dor HaMabul. Dor HaMabul, the Gemara says, L'mishpachasem yatzam min ateva. So this is obviously post-Dor HaMabul. This is after the flood. So they came out based on their families. Amar Rav Yochanan, L'mishpachasem v'lohem. L'mishpachasem v'lohem, it's a little bit difficult to understand exactly what the point of the Gemara is over here, but if you look at Rashi, so Rashi writes, L'mishpachasem v'lohem, Rashi is towards the top of the left-hand column. L'mishpachasem yatzam min ateva. Amar kol chavachat b'fnei atzmahaya. When the animals were on the boat, on the ark, so every animal was individualized. In other words, they didn't eat all from the same trough, and they all had their own specific diets. So now, basically, here we go with a great depiction, a great description of Noach the zookeeper, together with his three sons. And, you know, this is now, you're talking about the ultimate zoo, with every animal on the table for a full year. So Amar Rav Chanan b'Bizna Amalei Eliezer l'shem Rabba. So here we get this through a dialogue between Eliezer, that's Eved Avraham, and Shem Rabba, the great shame, meaning the son of Noach. K'siv l'mishpachoseim yatzu min ateva asan eichan avisan. So Eliezer basically asked Shem, tell me some stories about the ark, like how did you feed everyone? Amalei tzargado hayalana b'teva. So the response of Shem to Eliezer is it wasn't easy. It simply was not easy. Tagad ha'yelam b'teval. Birisha darka la'achila b'yam ha'achilam b'yam and darka la'achila b'layla ha'achilam b'layla. So the animals that ate during the day, we had to feed them during the day. The animals that ate at night, we had to feed them at night. And so basically, when did they sleep? When did Noach and his family sleep? That's right. Hi Zikisa. There was a certain species called the Zikis. Okay, don't ask me. I don't know, but it doesn't matter. There was a species called the Zikis. Lo hava yada abba. Huh? They called it the lizard? Okay. Lo hava yada abba ma'achla. So Shem is telling Eliezer, you know, dad didn't know what to feed it. And yumachar aviyas v'kapali rimona. Now one day, dad was peeling pomegranates. Nafatola minei. And a worm fell from the pomegranate. V'achla. And our little Zikis, our little lizard, so he ate it. Oh. Mikan ve'ele chavagabale chizra. Kimat la'achla. And so what dad now would do is that basically he'd make like a composition of bran and water, and then it would be infested with maggots, and that's now turned into breakfast for our Zikis. Okay, more story. Small bird? Okay. Okay, fine, a worm. Small birds? Okay.
Oh, well, maybe that's
the new model. Okay. I'll just simply say I don't know what it is. I'm covered. I'm covered. Arya Ishte Zinte. As far as the line is concerned, so the fever fed the line. It comes up a number of times through the Gemara, this idea that when you have a fever, when you're fighting a fever, so basically it takes away your appetite. The Gemara is about to tell us that, you know, it covers you for a bunch of days. So, in fact, the Gemara says it right now. Amar Rav lo basa mishisa v'lo tfei mitarsi zayna ishasa. That somewhere between 6 to 12 days, the fever can feed you. Meaning your appetite is suppressed, you're like, you're not interested in eating, and the fever alone can feed you, and the Gemara says, for the lion, and basically I think what the Gemara is saying is that because the diet of the lion was so immense, was so great, like how did Noach do it? How was he able to feed the lion? So the Gemara says, so the lion was fed by some sort of illness fever that he had. Orishena. So there's another type of animal on the boat, it's called the Orishena. Rashi describes it as a bird. In Lashon HaMikra, it's called a chol, which I know means sand, but that's another word for this bird. And it lives for a very long life. Although, to be fair, Rashi, I'm not presenting Rashi faithfully. Rashi says, Eino meis l'olam. Okay, never dies. So Arishena Ashkechei Abba Degani Besafna De Tevusa. So Dad, again, Shem is telling Eliezer some stories from the boat. Okay, Chronicles from the Ark. Okay, so that's a nicer title. So this little bird, so when Dad was in his own room, so Dad finds this bird. So Amalei, Lobai's Mizone, and basically the bird wasn't coming out for food, meaning the bird was just basically, you know, hiding in its room. So Amalei Lobai Mizone, so Noach says to this bird, don't you want to eat? So Amalei, so the bird says back to Noach, Chazisichta Vitrida Amina Lo Atzarech. So the bird says to Noach, I see how busy you are. Like, I didn't want to bother you. Amalei, so Noach says back to the bird, Yehi Rava Delo Tamas. Oh, so he gives the bird a bracha. The bracha is you shouldn't die. Shenamar, quoting from the Pasuk in Iyov, Va'omer imkini egva vechachol arbe yamim. So again, now in the context of the Agadah that we just learned, kachol, like the chol now being the same as the Arishena. So arbe yamim, I'm going to lengthen your days. Amr Avchina bar Levi, Amr Shem Rabba, said the great shame. Le Eliezer, ki asu alaycha mache mizrach umarav. So when the kings from the east and the west go to war one with another, meaning the great war that we saw last week's parsha in Lech Lecha, asan hechan avidatu. So how did you do it? Meaning now Shem is asking Eliezer, right? Like it's a great visualization, like two old men sitting down and sitting in, you know, sitting in the park, you know, exchanging, swapping stories one with another. So Shem says to Eliezer, how did you win that war? So Amar Lei, so Eliezer says, I said Kadosh Baruch Hu Avram Bosvi Mimina. So what Kadosh Baruch Hu did is he took Avram and he put Avram to the right of him. Vavashadina Afra Vavacharbe. And would throw dirt and the dirt would turn into swords. Gili he would throw then straw, Vavagire, and the straw turned into arrows. Shenemar, the Pasuk in Tehillim says, Mizmola David, No Mashem, Laduni, Shavli Mini Ad Ashis Oivecha Hadom Leraglecha. So this is the pasuk describing how basically HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes Avram and puts him to the right. Meaning, Kaviyachol, to the best of our understanding, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was there at the battlefront. And Uksivim, we have another pasuk in Yeshayahu, Mi Heir Mi Mizrach Tzedek Yikaru Leraglo Yitein Lefanav Goyim Amalachim Yerd Yitein Kafar Charbo Kikashni Dav Kashtel. So Mi Mizrach from the east. The easterner is Avram. Avram comes from the east. Avram's from Aram Naharaim. That was all the way out in the east. And Yitein Ka'afar Charbo, that's the pasuk that we just saw in Yeshayahu, and like the dust, he had a sword, and now the Gemara is understanding that actually the dirt turned into swords, and the straw turned into arrows. Okay. So basically he had military force that nobody else had, just to say the least. Okay, Nachamish Gamzer. The Gemara tells us a Maisa. This Maisa is here. The same Maisa is also in Masech Tanis. Nachamish Gamzer Ayiragu D'Chol Hava D'Saka Lei Amar Gamzer L'Tova. So first of all, his MO, his catchphrase was Gamzer L'Tova. Whatever happened, it's all for the good. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is doing it all for the good. May not seem good, it is good. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is Gamzer L'Tova. It's all for the good. Yumachad Ba'Yisrael L'Shtui Darun L'Kesar. Now one time, the Jewish people wanted to send Caesar a gift. Amrei Bahade Man Nishda. Well, who are we going to send him? Nishda Bahade Nachmish Gamzu. So they looked around and they realized, oh, of course, Nachm. Demalumad Benisim Ho. So miracles happen with him. So if something bad were to happen, this is Nachmish Gamzu, it's all going to work out. Kimat Aluhudira. So Nachmish Gamzu, with gift in tow, is now headed towards Caesar to give the gift, and he stops one night at a lodge. Bain Lameivas, he wants to lie down for the night. Amre Lay, the innkeeper says, "My ika ba'adach." So, what's this big burden that you're dragging with you? Amalehu kamovlina karga lekesar. I'm bringing taxes to the kesar. Kamu balayla. So the people that night, meaning the innkeeper and his whole family, and sharina lesifte, and they opened up the chest. And Vishakul called Davagabe, and they stole all the contents of the chest. Umaluno Afra, and they replaced it with dirt. Kimat alahasam. Now Nachamish Gamzu gets to Caesar, and he opens up the chest, and he shakech Afra, and of course it wasn't precious coins, metals, whatever, but rather, of course, now it's dirt. And so Caesar says, Jews are mocking me. So they take Nachum Ishkamzu out to be killed. And of course, you know what his reaction is, because it's always his reaction. It's all for the good. Asa Eliyahu, v'id melech echad minayu. Eliyahu appears like one of Caesar's dignitaries. And Amluhu demai Afram me'afra da'afram avinuhu. Well, this dirt, you know, maybe Avram dirt. You know, that dirt that, you know, that we've heard stories about Avram throwing the dirt and the dirt turning into swords. Maybe he brought that kind of dirt. Davishadi Afra v'havacharve. He would throw the dirt and it would turn into swords. Gila v'havagire. And he would throw the straw and the straw would turn into arrows. Baduk v'ishkachache. So, of course, they tested it out and they found out, yeah, this guy's right. This guy, Eliel, he's right. Have a mechuzah de la have a kayach le lemich b'shem. There was one city that Caesar just couldn't defeat. Shada me'afra, I love a kafshua. So now he brings in his new weaponry, the dirt, and he's able to conquer the city. Ilu lebeginza, and now Caesar's so happy, and obviously so happy with Nachum Ishkamzu. So he goes to his treasury. And Amrish called the Nichalach. And he says to Nachum Ishkamzu, whatever you want, you take from the treasury. And Maya Lestifte Dahava. And Nachum Ishkamzu filled his chest with gold. Ki Hadar Asa. Now Nachum Ishkamzu goes back and he stays at the same hotel. This story is from beginning to end perfect. Perfect. Ki Hadar Asa. So he goes back and he stays at the same inn. Armale Hanach Niure. So the innkeeper says to Nachum Ishkamzu, what happened? My it mislabay malka. Well, what did you bring to the king? Amalahu, my jashakli ma'achem to la'asa. Nachum Ishkamzu says, look, whatever I took from here, I brought over to the king and to the Caesar, and he was very happy with it. So shakli enu, so the innkeeper says, oh, really? He's happy with our dirt? So I don't understand, but the innkeeper says, look, if it works for you, Nachum Ishkamzu, it's got to work for us as well. So shakli enu, so they, the innkeeper, took the dirt. Amtulasam, they brought it over to Caesar. V'katlinu lahanach diure. Now, while filling a little bit of the blank, in other words, they must have tested out the dirt. Didn't work. So what they did is Caesar killed the innkeeper.
Okay.
Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the end of Dor Hamabul. And now we're up to Dor Haflaga. In the Gemara, we're on Daf Kuf Tes. We are about a little bit less than halfway down on the Amud, at the two dots. Dor Haflaga said the Mishnah is the next generation, do not get a chelek in Olam Haba. And so, from the Pesukim themselves, I mean, we just read them a couple Shabbosim ago on Shabbos, it's really difficult to identify exactly who they were, what they were trying to accomplish. We know they're building a tower. Even from the Pesukim themselves, their goal, their mission is not clear. And so here we have the Gemara's in Sanhedrin and Perek Chelek, where we're going to be seeing various opinions of what they were trying to accomplish, what they were trying to do, what exactly their punishment was. Okay, and even from the Gemara's, we'll see various shitas in terms of what exactly was going on. My Avot, but here's what we know for sure, meaning our Mishnah censors them, meaning. You know, they get chastised by the Mishnah in that they do not have a chelek in Olam Haba. So whatever specifically they were trying to accomplish, they were up to no good. That's the part that's clear. Here comes the next part, which is what exactly what they were trying to do. So my office of the Gemara says, what did the Dor Haflaga try to do? So Amr Debe Rav Shila Nivna Migdal Vanala Rakiv Anaka Osav Bekardumis Kedeshi Azova Meimav. So according to one opinion, they wanted to build the tower, go up to the Rakia. Now remember, the way they viewed the Rakia is that it was a dome. And so, they're going to hit it with hammers, and so that water would flow. And basically what they were trying to do is they were trying to prevent flood part two. In other words, so they were going to somehow create a, you know, they're going to try to manipulate the heavens so that there would be, you know, like kind of like a leaking of the water from the Rakia, and it would not be a flood, a second flood. Machula b'marav and Aranerti, so when they heard this pshat, they made fun of the pshat, they really didn't buy into this pshat. Imkain, if this is what their intent was, so livnu echad betura. So you'll notice in the Pesukim it says that they built it from a valley. And it doesn't make sense. If their interest and their goal is elevation to get to the highest point, so they should start building on the mountain, not in the valley. Amar of Yirmiyah Bar Elazar. So the Gemara now is going to give us another opinion. Nechluku L'shalosh Kita. So the truth of the matter is that really the Dor HaFlaga can actually be broken up into three different groups with three different goals. Achas Amar Esnala V'neshev Sham. So one group said basically, we're going to create a high riser and we're going to live in the penthouse in the high riser. And Rashi over here points out that their interest.
Security.
Yeah. The.
High ground.
Yeah. Okay, fine. And their interest is basically to get a high ground. In the event that another flood is coming, so they're going to be secure living up in the higher elevation. The Achas Omeres Na'ala V'Na'avad Avodas Kochavim, another group amongst them, wanted to be Ovid Avodah Zarah. The Achas Omeres Na'ala V'Na'asa Mochama. And a third one actually wanted to do war with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And so now, with the three different groups differentiated amongst the Dor HaFlaga, so the punishments for the three groups are going to be different. Zusha, Meres Na'ala V'Na'asa Sham, Hefitza Masham. So as far as the people who just wanted a high riser and a penthouse, so Kadosh Baruch Hu spread them out. Meaning that they weren't defined towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They just wanted a safe and secure place. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically said, okay, spread them out. For those who were going to make Mechama with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu now turned them from being human beings, turned them into monkeys, Veruchos, or turned them into winds, Shadim, or turned them into some sort of Shadim, Lilin, what's it called? Other different types of, amazing creatures. Vizusha Meres Na'ala V'Na'avad Avodas Kochav, and those who want to be Ovid of Rezara, Kisham Bala Hashem Sfas Kol Haaretz. So Kadosh Baruch Hu mixed up their language, so they didn't have the proper communication with one another, so therefore they couldn't unite in their goal to be Ovid of Rezara. Tanya the Gemara quotes another Braisa. Rabbi Nasa Amar Kulam Hashem Avodas Kochav Niskav. No, they were all interested in idolatry. So you see the word shame is used here and at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, both in conjunction with Avodah Zarah. Gemara continues now with Dor HaFlaga. Amar Rav Yochanan Migdal Shlish Nisraf. What happened to the actual tower itself? So the top third of the tower burnt. Shlish Nivla, the bottom third of the tower sunk into the ground. Ushlish Kayam is still in existence. Amarav Avir Migdal Mishkach. The airspace of the Migdal causes people to forget. And so that Migdal, in other words, has some sort of koach, some sort of power where it promotes Shichacha. Amar of Yosef. Now, the interesting thing over here. And the Gemara is going to allude to it as we close up this section of the Gemara, is that, of course, it was built in Bavel. And, of course, Bavel ends up becoming the epicenter of Talmud Bavli. And it's such an interesting point where, effectively, a place where it's an auspicious place where forgetting occurs, it promotes forgetting, becomes now the place and source in which you have the Talmud Bavli. Amar of Yosef. Bavel, Uborsif, so you have two towns, Bavel and Borsif, Simon Ra LaTorah, it's not good for Torah. Meaning again, because it promotes Shechacha, and so therefore it's just simply not good for Torah. And you'll ask me, well then how does it become now the epicenter of yeshivas and learning for hundreds of years? It's where the Talmud Bavli emanates from. Okay, it's certainly an irony. So Simon Ra LaTorah, so my Borsif, now the town Borsif, Amar Rebbe Asi, Bor Shapi. Borsif is actually a contraction of two words. It's a pit with no water in it. The analogy over here is just like, when you forget, so you become depleted of your knowledge and your memories. So Borsif, meaning it's like a pit with no water. Okay. Adkan, that is Gemara did not elaborate much on the Dor HaFlaga. We're up to Anshei Sdom. And the Gemara will spend a lot of time. Most of today's daf is going to be dedicated to Anshei Sdom. Anshei Sdom ein lam chelek lam haba. They don't have a portion of the world to come to. Rabban Anshei Sdom ein lam chelek lam haba. Shenem Rabban Anshei Sdom ra'im v'chatim l'shem ha'od. Ra'im ba'olam hazeh v'chatim l'olam haba. So this we already saw back in the Mishnah. The double language of Ra'im v'chata'im means both in this world and the next. But then the Gemara gives other explanations of what it means. Amar Rav Yehuda Ra'im begufan v'chata'im b'mamona. So Rav Yehuda gives a different drasha, which is that they are Ra with their body, and they're Chote with their money. Ra'im begufan d'chsiv, it says, as Eshes Potiphar was trying to seduce Yosef, how could I do this Ra? So Ra means that it's a chet beguf. It was a sin with his body, which he was trying to avoid, and he successfully avoided. V'chata'im b'mamonam. The word chet is with your money. Dichsiv, it says in Parshas Re'eh, don't be hesitant in lending money to the poor before the Shemitah year. And I know you're worried, because, of course, at the end of the Shemitah year, the loan is going to get canceled, but don't worry. And so don't withhold loans. And if you do, vaya b'chachet. So you're going to be sinning. Now that's obviously with your money. So, and la Hashem, going back to Anshei Sdom, Zubir Kris Hashem, they blasphemed against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And ma'od, shemiskavnim v'chotim. And ma'od means that all their sins were predetermined. Premeditated. It was planned. It wasn't, they just kind of backed into sinning. The Masisata now in the Braisa, slightly different variation of what happened. Ra'im b'mamonam v'chatim b'gufan. So they just flip around that the Ra'im is referring to the money and the Chatim is beguf. And the Gemara goes on to say Psukim describing both. Ra'im b'mamonam d'chsiv v'ra'a incha b'achicha ha'evyon. So you see the word Ra'a in conjunction to Shemitah and people not wanting to lend to the poor because Shemitah is coming. And the Torah uses the words Ra'a, that's in conjunction with money. Again, that goes back to Yosef and Eshes Potiphar. Lashem zubirchas Hashem, an agreement, just like with Rav Yehuda, that Lashem means blasphemy. And ma'od shvichas dam, and ma'od is a reference to murder. Shenemar gam dam naki shafach menashe harbe ma'od. We saw this pasuk earlier in the parak describing Menashe being such a brutal killer of the people. Tan Rabbanan Sheis Dom Lo Nizgau Ela Bishvil Tova Shishbil Amakash Baruch Hu. An idea we already saw earlier in this parak, and we're seeing it now again, and that is the problem of affluence. Now it happens to be something that we can relate to very well. So Anshei Sdom, so they became so arrogant and so haughty as a result of the affluence that they had. Maxi Bam, so the Gemara is going to quote a number of psukim from the 28th parak of Eov describing the affluence. Eretz, mimena yetze lechem v'tachta napach kmo esh. Bread just kind of came out of the ground. Mekom sapir avaneva afro zav lo. Natural resources, gold and other precious stones. Nisiv lo yadu ayev lo shazavtu ein ayah. And they didn't have these kind of like vulture birds. Lo yidrichu b'nei shachatz lo ada alav shachal. They didn't have any kind of these like predatory birds. So basically, they lived a very secure existence. Amru v'chima achar she'eretz mimenu yetzei lechem. The land just simply it spits out bread. V'afra zav lo and the natural resources. Lama lanu ovrei drachim. So then, you know, we should basically close our borders and have nobody walk through. And they became extraordinarily insular. She'ein bayim alenu ela lechasrenu mimonenu. And the only reason why people are coming, are going to want to come through is basically to take some of our wealth. So basically, we'll close the door and allow nobody to come in. Nobody's going to walk through our land anymore. Shenamar, again, going back to the Pesukim in Eov, Parat Nachal Me'im Gar, Hanishkachim Mini Regal Dalu Me'enosh Na'u. No foot tracks are going to be going through our town. Outsiders are going to be totally excluded from our town. Darish Rava Mai Dichsiv. Anana tehosisu al ish teratzchu kulchem kikir natui gadar dechuya. Gemara quotes a pasuk from Tehillim. Difficult to explain, but the Gemara understands it in the context of stone. Malamit shahayu nostem einem bevali mamon. What the people of stone would do in terms of wealth accumulation is that they would find somebody very wealthy, and moshivan oso etzel kir natui, and they would lean him up against a wall that was falling, and vedochen oso alav. And then they would just simply push the wall on top of him. And then, and then after having killed him, so then they'll just simply loot whatever money he had. And that is wealth management and accumulation for the Sodomites. Darash Rav Amai Dichsiv. Chasar b'choshech batim yomam chismu lamo lo yad'u or. Pasuk in Eov in the 24th parak. And now the Gemara is going to understand this pasuk in the context of the Anshei Sdom. Malam chayinos to meinem babal emamun umakpinim etzlo afar simon. So what they would do is they would find the people with money, and what they would do is they would put up a farsimon. A farsimon was this fruit with a very, very strong aroma. And menichin osa bebeitzkin zehem. Now the wealthy individual saw this gift and said, oh, thank you so much. This really expensive cologne slash fragrance. And what they did is that these wealthy people stored it together with their money, because they realized that this fragrance was really special. But la'erev, that night, now b'ayim ha'marichin oso kekelev. So now, what it basically did is, it served as a homing device. So now, the Sodomites were able to sniff out where the person kept his money. Shenamar, yeshuva la'erev yamu kekelev yosovavu ir. Like a dog sniffing it out. So that's how the Sodomites were able to sniff out the wealth. U'bayim v'chosrim sham. And this is now going back to that Pasuk and Eov, right? The Pasuk and Eov start off with the words Chasar b'choshech. They're digging tunnels at night. And now the Gemara understands it based on what we just learned together. In other words, not only were they able to dig into the house, but because of the smell, they knew exactly where to go. V'nolan osamamun, and they would take that money. Okay. Now, the next lines of Gemara are interesting because there are more Pasukim and Eov, and it's going to explain how the Anshei Sdom, more activities of the Anshei Sdom. What is strange and unusual is that the Gemara is going to quote the Pesukim without the drashas. Like, what happened over here? So it's a little bit unclear. I'll just read the Pesukim. So these are Pesukim from mostly the 24th parak of Eov. The last one is from the 21st parak of Eov. Aram yalina mibli lavosh ve'en ksus bekara. Chamor yisamim yinhagu yachbalu shor almana. Gavli zesigu eidr gazlu v'yirau. V'hu lekvarus yuval v'al gizish yishko. So again, Pesukim describing thievery and extortion. And it's a little bit strange that no, generally speaking, you know what happens. In other words, the Gemara quotes the Pasuk and the Darshan is the Pasuk. Here, you have the Pesukim, but then you don't have drashas. Okay. And the Mefarshim are bothered by that. So anyway, you can see the Gra over here is also bothered by that. Okay, anyway. We continue in the Gemara. Darsh Rav Yossi b'Tzipori. So Rav Yossi is up in the town of Tzipori. Tzipori, modern day Hoshaya. It's to the left of Tveria. Right? Right? Again. Right. Head due west out of Tveria, and you're gonna get to a town nowadays called Hoshaya. Hoshaya. Anyway, that is what the Gemara here describes as Tzipori. Meanwhile, the Darsh Rav Yossi b'Tzipori. So what we just learned together, you know, the Afar Simon and the Anshei Sdom basically able to sniff out the treasure because of the Afar Simon. So Rav Yossi saying shir in Tveria, and he's saying shir about Anshei Sdom. And now, that night, burglars were rampant throughout Tzipori. So the thieves just got the best idea in the world. And the idea was handed to them by Rabbi Yossi. Now Rabbi Yossi, of course, was not intent on revealing secrets to the thieves in terms of how to sniff out the treasures in people's houses. He was just saying over what we just learned together. But the people in Tzipori were so angry with Rabbi Yossi. Amrule Yavis Urchil Ganave. You basically taught the Ganavim how to steal and how to find the treasures. Amrulehu Mihaviyadan Dasa Ganave. And Rabbi Yossi in his defense said, I didn't know that I had Ganavim attending my shir. Who knew? Kikanach Navshed Rabbi Yossi, when Rabbi Yossi died, Shafe Marzavid Tzipori Damid. The Gemara here gives an image where the gutters in Tzipori had blood flowing through them. Perhaps the Gemara over here, not to be taken literally, but just simply a euphemism, expression of the city was mourning mightily over the loss of Rabbi Yossi. Amre. So now, from here forward, we get to see the justice system of Sdom. These Gemaras coming up are Fantastic. It describes a corrupted, perverted justice system. And again, that's Stone. That's that is a description of Stone. Amrei. So anyone who has one ox, so they're going to have the responsibility of shepherding for one day. And for somebody who has no oxen, so they're going to be responsible to shepherd for 2 days. Okay, now obviously that is not prorated. In fact, it's the opposite of prorated. So, in other words, if you have, you have a certain amount of responsibility. And if you don't have, you have even more responsibility. Not fair. So, Lir Chayuma. How Yasma Bar Malas? Now, there was an orphan living in Stom. Havale Tur Lamare. So, he had an ox. He did not have an ox. And by virtue of the fact that he did not have an ox, so they were basically telling him, okay, you got a shepherd, and you have to shepherd more because you don't have. Also, shaklin v'katlinu. So what the kid did is he took the ox and he killed him. The ox that they were responsible for. So Amar Lahu, so now he says to the members of the city of Sodom, so now that we have all these ox that are dead, so now we have to divide the ox amongst the members of the city. And the Islay Ture Nishko Chalmashcha. So the kid says, the orphan says, well, here's how we're going to distribute it. We're going to distribute it the same way that you held people responsible for shepherding. So that means to say that anyone who has oxen, so they're going to take one hide from all these dead oxen. But anyone who does not have, so nishkol trei mashke, so he's going to be entitled to two hides. Amrulei, so my hide. So the members of the stone said to the kid, like, what are you talking about? So, but the kid says brilliantly, Amrulehu sof dina ketchilas dina. Well, I think allocation should be commensurate to responsibility. So matchilas dina dilesei tura amari chad yume dilesei tura amari trei yume. So in terms of responsibility, so you say that the haves are less responsible than the have-nots, so therefore, afsof dina. So I'll say the same thing should be true regarding allocation. So the have should only be allocated one, but the have-nots should be allocated two. No, shouldn't be any different than responsibility. Okay. So the Yasam was able to show the injustice, and quite frankly, the perversion of the thinking process of the Anshe's Dome. No, but basically, it's a. In other words, their system of justice and
what he was trying to do,
right.
In order to divide it, you have to have additional cows.
No, he was shepherding. He was shepherding all of them, and while shepherding them, he just simply killed them. Avad b'mavra. Again, now we turn more towards the Anshe's Dome, and again, basically, it's the same idea. The haves were going to be getting more than the have-nots. So, the avad b'mavra, anyone who passed through the river, and using a small boat, Nesiv Chazuze, is going to be paying a toll of one zuz. But delo avad b'mavra. But now, if you're passing water on foot, you're going to have to pay Nesiv Trey. You're going to have to pay two. So, if you have a boat and you're a boat owner, so you do pay tax, but $1. If you don't have a boat, you're going to pay tax, but $2. Again, keep the wealthy wealthy, and keep the poor poor. Okay. Dehavale dara delivne, somebody who had a row of bricks. So asikol chavecha shakluchada. So everybody would come and take one brick. So amale anachad de shakle, and each one of them would be saying, "Look, I just took one brick. The one brick that I took is less than a shavapruta." Like, in other words, don't hold me accountable for your loss. I took something that was, you know, insignificant in value. Now, if somebody was laying out garlic or onions to dry, so also kol chavecha shakochada, amalei ana achada deshakle. And again, same idea. Everyone takes one onion or one clove of garlic, and they basically say, "Look, we just took something insignificant. Don't come to me for compensation." Arba dayana hay bestom. There were four judges in Stone. And the names were Shakre, Shakrure, Zaife, Umatleidina. Perfect. The names of the judges were basically liar, Zaife, counterfeiter, and Matleidina, somebody who perverts justice. Examples of some of the rulings coming out from these judges. By the way, I think it's interesting, noteworthy that there were four judges, meaning an even number, right? Unlike our system of justice, an odd number. Yeah. So machalei leisusa dechavre umapale. So here's a case study, from the cases of stone. So here's a case study. So one person hit the wife of another, causing her to miscarry. So So the judges ruled, oh, so he caused her miscarry. Okay, so you, the assailant, are now going to impregnate her in order to undo that which you did. Let's say another case study. So so they cut the ear off of your friend's donkey. So Amrle, so the judges said, oh, so give it to the assailant and wait for the ear to grow back. Okay. Padale lechavre. So a person hit his friend. Amrle, havle agra de shakalach dama. Oh, so you hit him and you caused him to bleed? Oh. So you, the victim, have to pay the assailant. For sure. In other words, because he just bloodlet for you. That's a service. You got to pay him for services rendered. And then they legislated, these judges, that if you're gonna cross the river on boats, so you have to pay four. If you're gonna cross it on foot, you have to pay eight. And again, for the wealthy who have boats, they pay a little bit. For those who do not, they pay a lot. So there was a launderer who stopped into town, the town of Sodom. So he's going to cross the river. And so the toll collector said, you got to pay four. So the launderer said, well, why am I paying four? I'm not crossing with a boat. I don't have to pay such an excessive toll. So Amrle imkein hav tamia davar b'maya. Ooh, you're not crossing by boat. You're crossing by foot. Okay, that'll be eight. Thank you very much. Lo yahiv. Now he refused to pay. Pajuhu. So they beat him. Asal kamid dayane. So now this launderer is going to take the people to court. They're demanding aid from me. So he takes them to court, expecting now to get compensated for the damages that were done to him. Amrle havle agra de shakal achdama. So the judges of Sodom said to him, well, you got to pay eight because you're crossing the river. And on top of that, you also have to pay the assailants because they're not assailants. They didn't hurt you. They bloodlet. So you got to pay them for the services rendered as well. Okay. Eliezer Evan Avram Yisra Mohassam. Eliezer comes to Sodom. Pajuhu. So they hit him. Okay. We don't know any more details. We don't know the story. In other words, they hit him. Asal kamed de dayana. So Eliezer takes the assailants to court. So Amalei havle agra de shakal achdama. So now you know how the judges are going to rule. At this point in time, now we know the side of my judges. So the judges of Sodom said, well, Eliezer, you have to pay them. In other words, they bloodlet for you. Pay them for services rendered. Shakal glala paju iul dayane. So Eliyahu takes a glala. Now generally that's it's dung, it's excrement, but in this case Rashi says it's either a stick or maybe a stone. And Eliezer beats the judges. He hits them. Amr my high. So the judges said, well, what was that? So Amr lay, agro denafak lach minachav ni alalahai vizuze, didika de kaime kaming. So Eliezer brilliantly says to the judges, well, now, don't you owe me money? Meaning, I just hit you, I just bloodlet for you. So now you have to pay me for the services rendered. But Eliezer says to them, but judges, I'll tell you what. We're good. You know what you're going to do? You're going to pay my assailant. Meaning, you owe me money. According to you, I owe the assailant money. So you pay my assailant, and I'm good. And I'll just excuse myself from the story. Yeah, she booted the Rabbi Nassan. Exactly. Havile purasa de havi magnele orchin. Okay, the bed and stone. Everyone knows this one. Okay, but this is the Gemara. We get to see it inside. So there was the bed and stone magnele orchin. So when guests lie down on the bed, so kimarich gaizile. So you're going to fit the bed. If you're too tall, so they just simply cut your legs. And so that you fit. Kigutz machten lay. Now, if you're too short for the bed, they'll stretch you out. Eliezer, and again, by the way, you're right. It's funny. It's sad. It's, you know, it's cruel. It's all of the above. It's the, I think. It's the idea that in stone, there's such an inflexibility. They were so intolerable that basically you conform to them. They don't conform to you. Eliezer, Eben Avraham, Mikla Lahasim. Now Eliezer gets the stone. Amrule, Kum Gani Apurya. They said, come, let's go lie down in the bed. Right? So, Kum Gani Apurya. So Amrulon, so Eliezer says to them, Nadra Nidra, Minyuma Demisus, Ima Lo Ganina Apurya. When my mother died, I made a nadra that I'm never sleeping on a bed again. Okay, so Eliezer says, no, thank you, but no, thank you. We're going to, every incident with Eliezer and stone, we're going to see he outsmarts them. That's, you know. When a poor person got to stone, so they all give money to the poor person, but they make sure to write their name on the money. But now when the poor person is trying to convert the money into bread, because the poor person is not interested in money, he's really interested in food. So when he tries to buy bread, so nobody's selling him the bread. And now the poor person would die, and everybody now would simply take back their money. I tell you, it interests me. It's a curiosity to me. Why go through the mechanics of giving him the money when ultimately they're going to get their money back? Meaning, it's or in other words, it's a sham, obviously. But even the sodomites understand that there still has to give. It has to be like this appearance of we're benevolent. We do give. Even though, of course, they have no interest in doing so, with a plan to actually get their money back. Okay. Hachia asina benayu. They made a tanai. They made the following agreement one to another. Koman, demazmen gavra lebehulula l'shalach lima. Look, we're going to have again our insula parties. They had their clubs. Nobody, of course, was invited to them. But if anyone invites anyone into the club. So the person responsible for inviting them, they're going to be fined. And they're going to be fined. They're going to have to give up an article of clothing. There was a chasna. They had, you know, some sort of party, a chasna. Now Eliezer comes and he comes to the party. Now they wouldn't give him any bread. Kibailam is said, now he wanted to eat. Asa Eliezer v'yasav l'sefa de kulo. Eliezer now is sitting at the end of the bench. Amrule, so they say to him, Man az machlahachna. Well, who invited you here? So Amrule lahudi yasef asa ata zimantem. So the person who asked him so, Eliezer said in a really loud voice, you invited me. Now, Amar dilmashame biyadana azmanete. Now, even though it's not true, but he was now totally mortified because someone's going to overhear Eliezer saying that he was responsible for doing the inviting. He didn't want to get fined. So what did he do? Mashach le mane dai gavra. Oh, I'm sorry. And he knows what's going to happen. I'm going to be fine. I'm going to have to give up an article of clothing because people overheard that I invited him. Shakuglima udi yasif gabe ura labra. So this person now, who is accused by Eliezer of inviting him to the party, so he takes his garment and he runs out. V'chein avalakula. Now, that allowed Eliezer to move up on the bench. And then he did it to the next person. And eventually, adenafke kulai v'achlu il l'sudasa. So Eliezer now had the entire shmorg all to himself. And he's just such a great picture. Eliezer sitting there on the bench all by himself and enjoying the good food. And finally, Aviyahu Revisa. And we're done with the fun and games of stone. And now we end tragically. There was this young woman. Now she wanted to give to the poor. In other words, a sensitive young lady living in stone. And so, but she knows, in other words, we don't give to the poor here in stone. So what she does is she hides the bread in a bucket. A bucket that's normally used for drawing water out of the well. Hopefully disguising the fact that she's giving to the poor. But it's revealed that she's caught. Having given to the poor, shafiu adufsha v'ukma al igar shura. So they apply honey to her body and they put her on the wall. And asa zibor v'achlo. And she is bitten to death by bees. V'hainu dichsiv, v'yomar Hashem zakastom v'amor ki rabba v'amor v'yuna marav al iske riva. In other words, rabba can mean great, but rabba could also come from the word riba, meaning the young lady. Meaning, I heard the screams of the young lady, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and as a result of that, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Amora. Okay, I'll just read the next section of Gemara, and then we'll pause for today, and we'll pick it up tomorrow with Adas Karach. Now, in our Gemara, really, this is what we saw back in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, there was in parentheses, if you remember. So the people who were speaking ill of Eretz Yisrael, meaning the Meraglim, so they die in a plague. And again, the double language is both in this world and the next world. According to Rabbi Kiva, the same thing can be said regarding Adas Korach. And Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Aleim Amar Kasav Hashem, Meimus Mechayim Morish Ovayal. And according to Rabbi Eliezer, they're going to eventually come up from the ground, based on the pasuk in Shmuel. Okay, we'll stop here tomorrow. Tana Rabbanan, we pick it up with the Adas Korach, and we start tomorrow with Korach.